The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your O, RG Ochoa. He is your 75, Mr. Two-time Super Bowl champion, Tony Casillas. It's been a minute, Tony, since we 750'd. I was selfish and went and got married. But we're back for a brief episode. We'll be back later in the week. How are things going for you, though, before we get started here?
I guess the question is, how are things going for you? Congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. RJ Ochoa, as of Saturday, and a lot of things have happened since I talked to you, but congratulations, everyone that doesn't know. My man got hitched on Saturday. You look like you're glowing.
Yeah, I feel that way. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. We had a great time, thank God, with the family and friends and everything. So it was a great celebration, and I'm sure you felt this way when you got hitched. I'm glad it's over. I'm glad that all of that is behind us and we can start just getting back to normal a little bit.
Yeah, the fun part begins, my man. And, the whole wedding plan and everything else goes along with it. It seems to me it should last a little longer because, you get married, depends on, what type of, if it's a Catholic or whatever ceremony you have, goes by fast. And now the dream is ahead for you. Now you start talking about having kids and maybe not quite, but yeah. The honeymoon is on right now.
The future is definitely, being worked on, so to speak. And that's kind of the theme, for NFL teams. Today we're just going to talk about the biggest free agent moves that have happened and how they affect the Cowboys, because that's what we do. And Tony, we were a little delayed actually to pull the curtain back and getting started, because right when we were going to start recording, Earl Thomas, that domino fell. He is headed to the Baltimore Ravens. I don't know if you know this, Tony, the Baltimore Ravens are not the Dallas Cowboys.
No, they're not. And I know that it created some sadness in your heart, along with a lot of the other Cowboy Nation that follow us on Blogging the Boys and our podcast. But, it seemed to me it was imminent that this was going to happen, considering the Cowboys were pretty dormant and really held their ground when it came to signing a safety. And I think they had their threshold, and obviously like all these other dudes, and incidentally, it's interesting that you already think that free agency has actually started, because all these contracts are being already put in place before actually it started today. But it doesn't surprise me. I think there were so many rumors out there, and the madness begun, I guess, last night when the Giants traded Odell Beckham to Cleveland for, which to me, I still can't believe what they ended up doing. Sure. That. But anyways, the madness has begun, and as everyone else, and we talked about this last year when all this, I guess, talk about Earl Thomas coming to the Cowboys, that's not going to happen. So a lot of people are sad today.
Yeah, I'm sad admittedly in a hysterical way. It didn't make sense, as you mentioned, for the Cowboys and Earl Thomas to get hitched themselves. The writing was on the wall. He wanted a lot of money. He wanted $14 million a year. That did not happen, or that wasn't going to happen, excuse me, with the Cowboys. He got what he wanted from the Ravens. They're still a contender. It will be interesting to see him matched up against Odell there, certainly in the AFC North. So a quick recap of the Cowboys' moves, if you want to call them that. They have lost now Cole Beasley, who left, who's leaving to join the Buffalo Bills. They have lost Damian Wilson, which isn't a substantial loss. He's headed to the Kansas City Chiefs. Second year in a row, Tony, the Chiefs take a former Cowboys linebacker, as they took Anthony Hitchens a year ago. They have also lost, in the forms of suspensions, a handful of other players, but that's a little bit harder to qualify. They obviously, they added Jason Witten, literally. I mean, that is a free agent addition. They signed another tight end, Tony, Cody McElroy. That's right. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's a household name. And, oh, by the way, people don't know who he is. He actually played for the LA Rams last year and actually didn't play a whole lot of football.
Nope.
And didn't make it through the season, was cut. So, yeah, that's kind of a footnote.
I agree. They also, in the immediate aftermath of the Earl Thomas news, announced that they are retaining Jamiz Olawale, whose most famous and infamous moment with the Cowboys so far is dropping the touchdown that he was thrown in Indianapolis when the Cowboys got shut out 23-0. So I'll put it to you this way, Tony, because as you mentioned, the Odell Beckham trade did happen. That makes the Cowboys better just because he's not on the Giants anymore. And personally, I'm really excited to be able to root for him because, you know, it's hard to root for guys in the division. Landon Collins also left the Giants. He's on the Redskins now. The Philadelphia Eagles have been very busy. They signed Malik Jackson. They traded for DeSean Jackson. And so I'll put it to you this way. The Cowboys have really... They've added nothing. And so I find it to be a bit arrogant in the sense of the Cowboys are just saying, well, we're just going to run this thing back. We'll come back in 2019. We've got Witten back and we've got Travis Frederick back, and that's going to be enough. And I don't think that's the case personally.
Well, I think that maybe you may be overreacting just a little bit, because I don't think that you have to go out and spend money frivolously on free agents. You really have to look within yourself and within your organization what you have in place. And I guess there's some positions you can look at, and maybe there's some guys out there in free agency. First of all, the rapid movement you're going to see is like the first couple of days of free agency. We know it's just a blur when it comes to guys signing. You know, teams reacting to other teams signing, so they're going to go out and get the players that they need to fill the void. But I think the Cowboys kind of, you know, held serve. They kind of looked at who they have and money they have to spend. I don't think we're used to this type of strategy. If you look at the past, the Cowboys have gone out there and spent money on free agents. But I don't think there was really, when you look at the whole forensic part of the Cowboys, I really don't think you need to go out there and spend a ton of money.
Sure.
You may look at the draft, but realistically – when you look at this team, they're built pretty good, and I guess you can take that as a positive thing, not having to go out there and throw money at free agencies that may or may not, you know, come to fruition. I mean, look at the Giants. Look how much money they spent on free agents last year and over the couple of years, and really hadn't gotten nothing to speak of. So while you want to criticize the Cowboys for just kind of sitting there and being dormant, look, you don't want them to go out to spend money, just good money that chases bad money. That's the way
sure.
I look at some of these decisions if they don't pan out.
I agree with that. And let me be clear, not necessarily just to you, but to anybody who's listening, I'm not at all proposing just go spend money to spend money. That's a, you know, irresponsible way to live as well. I think where the frustration comes, and I think a lot of people might agree with this, is you look at various teams that have very cheap quarterbacks if they're on rookie contracts. You look at the Kansas City Chiefs. They went and got the Honey Badger. You look at the way the Los Angeles Rams have operated. You look at the way the Philadelphia Eagles have operated. You look at the Chicago Bears and the way they are operating. I mean, they are certainly capitalizing on Mitchell Trubisky's rookie contract. The Cowboys have yet to do that. They have yet to make a big move while having Dak Prescott for such a cheaper cap value than any of these other guys. The other guys we're talking about are all first-round picks. I mean, technically they did trade for Amari Cooper, but part of that was because of the hole that they dug for themselves that they had to get out of. So that's where the frustration is. I don't think it's just go spend money because I want to see you spend it. It's, dude, you're never going to get this window again. I mean, why did you sit on your hands in it?
Well, I mean, part of me wants to agree with that, but I've seen these teams over the years go out and look for flashes and look for guys to fill a void. And I think with you talk about Earl Thomas, Eric Weddle retired or is no longer there anymore. So they needed the void at that position, and they wanted to get better on defense. Mm-hmm. So I understand the strategy. Now, Earl Thomas wanted to be the top, highest paid safety in the National Football League. Was it Tyron Matthew ended up signing with the Kansas City Chiefs, and then Landon Collins? So those are three of the highest paid safeties now when you look at what they've gotten in free agency. But I always thought, I thought this, and as I look back at this franchise and just watching them from afar and what we do, is that I think really, really there's this panic mode. Mm-hmm. That these general managers and these teams, they look at what everyone else is doing around them. And I think the Cowboys a couple of years ago decided that they were going to look at the draft and bring younger players in where they develop those younger players. Well, while they may not be where they want them to be now, they're on. I think the needle is point is going up when mm-hmm. and when you look at the younger contracts. And so I really think that that's where you really need to start. And regardless of what the situation is, the contract is with Dak Prescott, look, that he's going to be paid probably $20 to $30 million a year. And then you have the Zeke Elliott's, you have DeMarcus Lawrence having to allocate money for him. And so there's going to be a lot of things are going to have to change. Now, do they have enough players on that team now that really quantifies not going out and spend money frivolously? And I say frivolously in kind of a tongue-in-cheek.
Right.
Because I don't really think right now, you look in the free agency right now, maybe as we go farther along, but I think sometimes, RJ, we're looking at all these, the high-rated free agencies are being signed now. Not really kind of how some of the dabbles, some of the guys are in there where you get them for less money. Maybe that's kind of the strategy they may be looking at to be able to fill some depth at some positions.
I think that's certainly fair. And to be fair, the Cowboys have acted this way for a long time now, and they've been competitive. They've been competitive. They've found ways to be in the mix every year. They're reigning division champions, after all. They've had the NFL's leading rusher in three of the last five seasons. I mean, they know how to draft. We know that. And they have taken some chances that burned them a bit. People talk about the last big free agent they signed was Brandon Carr. I think that's true, but they took a big risk when they signed Greg Hardy. That didn't really work out.
Which incidentally is the reason why Odell Beckham Jr. is getting paid so much money, because of the catch during the Cowboys.
Right.
I don't know if we all remember that's where that all started. But I mean, the one-handed catch, but that was a phenomenon of Odell Beckham against Brandon Carr. So thank you, Brandon Carr, for making him a really rich man now.
Sure, seriously. I don't know if Brandon Carr, when he does autograph signings, if people bring that photo, and have him just like sign it or whatever.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
It would be
I'm
cool
sure
to
they do all the time.
It would be cool to have both of them, sign the photo. But anyway, But I think that's kind of people will admit, the Cowboys, they can knock on the door, but they cannot break through. And so maybe the difference is in Earl Thomas, and you're not going to have another window to spin like you currently have right now. And that's what's really frustrating.
You think the Cowboys should have spent $14 million a year for someone that is 29, 30 years old, and I just don't see that. I don't think that makes very good business sense. Well, because I think that, Earl Thomas, I mean, is he going to fill a void? Yes, maybe. But I think timing is everything. And yeah. I think that Dallas's timing was last year. Unfortunately, their timing was that they had to go out and find a wide receiver.
Sure.
Not a free safety.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, the money is certainly a lot. And it would be a hard pill to swallow. But my question then becomes, and maybe you or somebody doesn't have this answer right now, but what are you spending the money on? And again, I'm not saying, hey, just spend money, because it's obviously not my cash. But I mean, what are you spending it on? You haven't worked out.
Well, I think $11 million is pretty, and he ended up getting more with the Ravens. But I think $12 million was their threshold, and it seems to me they weren't, he wasn't willing to budge. and he's got a chance to make, what, $22 million guaranteed, or 20 million of that was guaranteed, I believe. He has an opportunity to make $22 million in 9 months. So obviously, Earl Thomas was looking to get paid.
So let me ask you this then, Tony. You've been in situations in life, you know, not just football, but any situation where, you know, you've been up against a wall, right? And when, yeah, when anyone's up against a wall, you have to react, you have to perform, mm-hmm, or else, you know, something bad happens. And so this is what I was looking forward to seeing, just to get a gauge on the Cowboys. Free agency doesn't technically begin until Wednesday. We all know that, blah, blah. But all these free agent moves have happened, and they're going to become official very soon. And so all the big players are obviously, with new teams and have agreed to new teams. But we have Jason Garrett, who is theoretically backed up against a wall, right? He's on the last year of his deal. He's been told, we're not going to renew your contract until, you know, we see what happens throughout the season, etc. If it was me, and I'm curious if you agree, if it was me, and I knew it was the last year of my deal, and I had a rookie offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore, I knew I had a bad offense, I knew that my defense was on the cusp, whatever, maybe I wouldn't go chase Earl Thomas. I would do something. I mean, I would do something, just because I know that I'm up against a wall, and I think it is kind of, you know, at the very least, shaky to just bring this thing back exactly the way it was last year and hope that that's enough.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you satisfied with the way the defense played last year?
Well, I am, but I also believe that it's very difficult, and you know this better than I do, to do that year in and year out. And I think,
well, I understand that, but let's look from 2017 to 2018. Mm-hmm. Was that progress from 2017 to the next year?
Totally, but
without a doubt.
But
so,
you mentioned those 2 years, and when I think about this, I think about the Jacksonville Jaguars. That defense in 2017 looked like the next great.
Oh, and they were horrible last year.
Right, and so you can fall off. And I'm just saying, if it was my team, I would try to bet against, or not bet against, I would try to guard against that. Because if you do fall off, if the Cowboys defense were to fall off today, or this season, I should say, what's their hallmark? You know, I mean, if they don't have that defense that's limiting teams to 13.
So we're going to come back and say they should have went after Earl Thomas. So that's going to be the question. We're going to go back to it's 3-13, 2019. The Cowboys are eighth game in the season and they're the 29th ranked defense in the National Football League. We're going to blame it on the Earl Thomas decision not to sign him, not to spend $14 million a year to make him the highest paid safety in the National Football League.
I don't know that that will be the singular thing that people point to, but the same way that when the Cowboys lost to the Washington Redskins in Washington off that clanked field goal, at that point the conversation was all about, you let Dez go, you don't have any weapons on the outside, you don't have anybody that can get separation, you're leaving Dak, he's stuck, etc. And what did they do? They smashed the glass and you know, pulled
the emergency lever. They went out and got Amari Cooper.
Right.
And you know, to me, that was a slam dunk. I mean, that was a home run.
It was.
And they hit it so far out of the park. But no, my point is where I'm getting, RJ, is that, you know, these free agency, you know, decisions that teams make, there's no guarantee that Earl Thomas – I mean, how much is a player worth? A player is worth what a team is willing to pay him.
Right.
And the player is looking to get paid, and God bless him. I mean, you got to look for your future. Maybe it's not all about chasing rings. It's all about being financially secured. I understand that. Mm-hmm. Now, so I think that's the mentality. Look, I'm all for the player. I think you need to get as much money as you can.
Totally.
In a short period of time. But as a team, and looking at some of the decisions teams have made in the past, there's guys they pay and the first year they decide, look, you know, I'm set. Mm-hmm. I'm set for life, or set for the next 4 years, and maybe they don't get a return on that investment. That's the slippery slope. Now Earl Thomas, he may be the norm. I mean, he's a proven commodity. I mean, he was injured last year, but
right,
who's to say that this year he's going to go out there and ball? I mean, we don't know that. So I think, you know, I understand both sides of it. I just don't think the price that he wanted to be paid, and that's another thing about all these, which is interesting because we threw this around last week and we talked about it all the time. Hey, look, I'm the biggest Earl Thomas fan. I love the kid. And I was a big proponent for bringing him in last year. But You know, that's before the offense went
Right.
to hell, okay? So now I think that that's the way you got to look at it. You got to look at the financial logic of it. Yeah, I think, you know, you look, why not bring Earl Thomas in? I mean, he's going to make our team a lot better. Our defense is going to ball. But you know what? As much as you asked, you know, that you asked Jason Garrett to ask himself, backs against the wall, I need to bring a player in like Earl Thomas. Chris Richard, he was his defensive coordinator, his defensive back in Seattle, and I'm sure he was lobbying for him. So I think it was a collective decision, but ultimately it came down to not spending that much money for him.
Sure, and I don't think it's necessarily about Earl Thomas specifically. Like, does it suck that the Cowboys didn't get him? Yeah, but I think people are just – they're just unsettled because nothing's happening. You know what I mean? And again, like, I don't know that, you know, if you ask random Cowboys fan Joe, well, who do you want? I think random Cowboys fan Joe is just going to say, well, I just want some good players. And that's obviously a very difficult thing to do. So what it comes down to is, I guess, trust. And do you trust that the Cowboys, who don't, you know, pick until 58 overall in the draft, they're great in the first round. We know that. But their second-round draft picks typically don't contribute right away. And so you are looking at a team that is basically running back the same squad they had last year. And do you trust that that's enough in 2019?
Here's the thing about it. When I think sometimes we get blinded by the money that a lot of these guys are making. So, as you know this, the top 10, there's like 8 or 9 guys on the team would get paid, okay? Then all those other, you sprinkle in the you know, obviously the lower draft picks, the free agency, that's collectively the people that make the players that make up the rest of your team, all right? Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes we look 2 months about these free agents and these high-priced free agencies that are coming out, the ones that are the best on the market. So I think sometimes we get a little bit seduced by that when we don't look at what each team has, the Cowboys, the Giants, whoever that may be. But we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go back to it. Here's what we always say, you know, it's like we want our cake and eat it too.
Right.
We want the Cowboys to go out and spend a ton of money on free agents.
Right.
We want to get them to get Earl Thomas. We want them to get these really good, impactful players. But then what are we going to do about the guys that we have on a team that we drafted that we want to develop? Wasn't that the slogan, or wasn't that the,
yeah,
you know, the outcry for fans? Let's go out and let's draft players through the draft. Let's develop them. Let's look at the Cowboys historically, what they've done in other teams. They develop players that they already have there that they've drafted. Look at the Rams. The players that have made a big impact for them, look at Jared Goff. Look at Aaron Donald. Those are guys that they drafted and brought them in. So while, you know, that's maybe a different comparison.
Yeah.
But I think for me, that's, you know, that's what we got to be cognizant of. Remember, the players that the Cowboys have within the roster, let's not forget about who they brought in and the guys that develop and the guys they're going to have to keep, they're going to have to pay and not let them leave, you know, for free agency in 2 or 3 years.
Sure, I agree with that. I mean, you certainly have to build your core through the draft, and you've got to hit on your draft picks. You're right, Jared.
But you just don't go out there and spend money, you know, like,
right.
Okay, I'm just going to – I got money and burn it. I got money. How many times you've had a little money in your pocket? And I just – damn it. And I've done this for all of my years as a man. How many times you had a bunch of money in your pocket and like, damn, it's like burning a hole in my pocket.
Yeah.
I mean, I need to keep some of that money in my pocket because there's going to come a day I don't have as much.
Sure. But to use the Rams example, they went out and they got their Dante Fowler. They went out and they got their Ndamukong Suh. They went out and they got their Brandon Cooks. They got their Aqib Talib, their Marcus Peters. You know, they find guys, you know, and those are the guys that I think Cowboys fans are looking for. I think
Ndamukong Suh, he's there 1 year.
Well, that's
they
true.
Said they weren't, they said he wasn't, they were disappointed in his play and they let him go.
Sure, but it's not just.
So they got a 1 year. And how much of impact was Ndamukong Suh? Really, when you look at it, as much money they're paying him.
I agree with
that.
They
paid him, what, $13, $14 million last year?
I agree with
that. For 1 year rental?
Sue's not the best example, but look at the Eagles. And the Rams didn't even win the Super Bowl. Look at the Eagles 2 years ago. They went and signed Alshon Jeffrey. They signed they traded for Jay Ajayi. They signed Chris Long. I mean, you know, the Patriots signed Chris Long the year before. And so, you know, and there's – all I'm saying is – I think those are the moves that people want to see. And it's easy. I understand. It's easy to say, oh, I want my team to be just like the Patriots. I want them to make all the moves the Patriots do. It's a really easy thing to say, but it's a very, very difficult thing to do. I do think the Cowboys don't get enough credit for the work they've done in the draft. And you're right. They have to, you know, they certainly have to bookmark enough room, because right now we're just talking about Dak and Zeke and Amari and Byron and Tank Lawrence. Pretty soon, it's going to be time to pay Jalen Smith. Pretty soon, it's going to be time to pay Leighton Vander Esch. Pretty soon, it's going to be time to pay Cheeto, pay Jordan Lewis. I mean, you're going to have to make all these decisions, and I think people understand that, but all of these other teams found a way to do it while having a quarterback on a cheap rookie contract, and the Cowboys seem to have pissed that window away to some degree.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I understand that, but, you know, you look at the Cowboys at $19 million under the cap right now, I believe around $20 million, and they're going to allocate, obviously, money. You know, the thing about it is that you don't want to have dead money lying around. Mm-hmm. And I think the Cowboys have done a good job of really carving some of that off. We can't really say that over in the past. And a lot of other teams, you look around and still have dead money lingering sure. around. The guys are no longer there. So I think maybe they're – and look, how many times have we just killed Jerry Jones or even Stephen Jones for going out and signing these guys, and they're still paying them 3 years later?
Right. No, I mean, that's totally fair. And they have handed out some bad contracts. And again, so you're right. It is you cannot have it both ways. You've got to live and die by one edge of this sword. You've either got to be this conservative team, or you've got to be this team that's just freewheeling and dealing the way Dan Snyder has been for the Redskins for however long. God. Yeah, I mean, I get it. You don't want to be that.
I'm still trying to figure out that Landon Collins. I mean, sure. My gosh, that dude got paid.
Sure, but...
Does that surprise you by Daniel Snyder? I mean, he's...
Not at all. And I do think it's cool. Landon said he grew up loving Sean Taylor and wanted to play for the Redskins because of that. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
The Cowboys, like I said, they have... It's hard to trust this because it's... You know, you feel like everybody's getting new toys and you get antsy, you get anxious, whatever. Yeah. And it's hard to trust. But again, the Cowboys' results kind of support their philosophy. They've been competitive. They have three division titles in the last 5 years. I'm sure you saw Cole Beasley got snarky on Twitter on Tuesday night. Somebody, you know, was salty about him leaving, said, okay, go to the Bills. You're not going to win. And he responded and said, I was with the Cowboys for 7 years. We didn't win, you know, there, which is kind of a lie. You know, and looking at that as an example.
That's not a very good comparison,
no,
Cole.
In the 70s.
So considering that the Cowboys actually won divisions he's won since he was there?
In the time that Cole was with the Cowboys, those 7 years, they won 68 games, I believe. I tweeted this if you want to go check it out. Only six teams won more games than them. They have three division titles. They were in the divisional round three different times. They have two playoff wins. I mean,
people criticize the Cowboys and make fun of the Cowboys for being absent from the playoffs, but was it 2 years ago when the Buffalo finally went to the playoffs?
Yeah.
It'd been 20 something years, longer than that, since they actually went to the playoff game.
They hadn't been there this century. You're right. They did go in 2017. And they only went because of that crazy win the Bengals had over the Baltimore Ravens.
They went there mathematically.
Yeah. They hardly earned it outright. But it's just, it's hard to trust. And people get antsy and people, you know, people want to see something.
They react too, because, you know, as you look around you, and other teams, Cleveland, I mean, they need to get some playmakers on the team. And, you know, right now, the decisions that they've done and the aggressive they've been, and arguably one of the – probably the most stellar offense roster in the National Football League.
They're going to be so much fun to watch. We're going to be back later this week, Tony. Before we get out of here, I want one prediction from you for something that happens to the Cowboys. It can be kind of ambiguous, like they sign a safety, or you know, if you want to keep it that broad, give me one prediction for something the Cowboys do before the next 7-5-0.
Well, this is going to be next month, and well, the draft is next month. It's not in May, right? So I'm telling you,
it's late.
The 2019 draft, I think. They will probably draft a safety or maybe even a defensive tackle in the draft, because I think there's probably enough players in the second or third, fourth round, hopefully, to make an impact or find guys. So I'm gonna say that that's what the Cowboys address in the draft.
What about something, though, before we 7-5-0 again? So we're talking in the next day or two.
I think you're going to be surprised. I think they maybe either sign. I don't know what the fate of Gerald McCoy is. I still think that may be something if they don't bring him back, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But I think that may still have some action to it. I don't know how much money he may be asking for, too much money. But I'm going to say that they go out and sign a veteran safety or maybe a defensive tackle that can help him with the depth and make an impact on the defense. But I think they're going to address defensive needs.
Okay, I'll say I think they sign a running back to compliment Zeke. I think they find some sort of Lance Dunbar-ish guy. I mean, you know, we'll see who it is. But that's my my prediction. So we'll see. We'll be back later on in the week. Earl Thomas is not with the Cowboys. Find a way to cope. I know that we will, too.
It's after 5 somewhere.
That's right. So we'll see
you. Bars are open.
We'll see you later on this week. This was the 750.